That's so. The word freedom hasn't got a thing to do with everybody being detached from everybody else. Not a thing. There's nobody that, no word that's misunderstood as the word freedom. And so I want you to hear me carefully. I want all the young folks over here in this section, all the young folks back in the back, way back here in the corner back here, all the folks up here, everybody in the house, I want you to hear me now. I'm not going to scold you. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to be mean to you. But I want to talk to you about this matter of being accountable. Father, bless the message with power and fruit in our lives. Amen. I guess in our nature, there's something that makes us, if we're in, to want out. And if we're out, to want back in. I stayed in a home years ago down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for a few days when I was preaching down there. And I don't stay in homes anymore, but years ago I did in that meeting. And they had the cutest little black poodle dog you ever saw. Little snobbish thing. I tell you, poodles and Pekingese dogs just bother me. I get an inferiority complex when I'm around them. We used to have one. And name was, I've forgotten. Anyhow, but you know what I'm trying to say. Mickey, I think the name of our. No, Mickey was another dog. But anyhow, they're all like. But I'll write you there and tell you all the names of all our dogs. But they had a poodle dog inside, cutest to boo. And they had an old Heinz 57 variety stray dog that came to the back door. And I sat there one day and I watched that poodle trying to get out. And that old stray alley dog trying to go in. And I said, that's it. That's it. That's the picture of the whole thing. That little poodle. Oh, yeah. Go down. And the old stray dog said, I wish I had the security of a home. And all the care I don't know that poodle. And the stray dog always came. Rubbed them. They'd give the poodle, you know, I mean, just the right amount of vitamin C and vitamin A. I've never understood that. I mean, I just can't stand that. I mean, if you've got any left over, let the dog have it. But a lot of you folks, the dog is better than you do. That's why he's prettier, too. And that's why his hair is better shaped than mine is. But I'm saying that they gave his poodle. I mean, They had a special diet for the stupid poodle. But the little old scroungy dog outside, he got what was left over. And I took up with that dog, because he and I have a lot in common. And I took up with him. But that's it. The whole, and you know what? You get one of them, you feed one of these stray dogs, and let him hang around for a while, and then try to get rid of him. Mama, every time an old dog hang around our house, all dogs had mange. Our house was a mange hospital. And old mange you have. And Mama would say, we can't feed that dog. He's been here for 2 or 3 weeks. He should say, Daddy, this is when I was little and Dad was home. She said, Daddy, could you take that dog and let him out somewhere? And she said, so we'd get the dog and take him and let him out of the car about 2 miles away maybe. And Mother would always say, now, let him out in front of a house or close to a house. Isn't that thinking of others? She wants somebody else to feed the old mangy hound. Let him out in front of a house. And so she'd let the dog out. And you know what? Within 12 hours, guess what? Huh? Yeah, he's back. Now, he had never learned the way, but he found his way back. And so Daddy would take him 10 miles away. Took about 18 hours to get back then. I never understood. My sister and I even blindfolded one of them one time, so he couldn't see where we were going to go, you know. And put the crazy thing out blindfolded. And you know what? He got back. He got back. There's something inside man that makes him want to get out when he's in and want to get in when he's out. But I want to tell you something. One of the great supports of our society is accountability. And one of the great causes for the decay of our society is the fact that we no longer believe or practice accountability. A person of any age will see his character decay. Now hear me on this. A person of any age will see his character decay when he is not accountable.
And you'll not be happy.
Long. If you are not accountable. Everybody needs to be accountable. It's a part of life. It's a part of security. It's a part of the basic need of everybody, and that is to be accountable to somebody. Many businesses crumble because the boss man has risen above, he thinks, above accountability. You know what causes the second generation to squander the fortune made by the first generation? Because the fellow who built the business made himself accountable. Maybe accountable to a board. Maybe accountable to an auditor. Maybe accountable to a schedule. Accountable to self-discipline. But he made himself accountable. And nobody is going to be happy or successful unless he's accountable for what he does and where he is, where he goes, what he spends. He needs to be accountable. And that's why so many young men inherit their dad's businesses or business and squander it, is because they somehow think they've risen above accountability. The President of the United States is accountable. There are checks and balances there. He's accountable. And some folks are accountable to him, and he's accountable to somebody else. And no preacher ought to rise above being accountable. No leader ought to rise above being accountable. That's where your Jim Jones has come from. Your Jim Jones says, I'll run this thing. It's all mine. I'll take care of the business. I'll take care of the money. I'll count the money. I'll write the checks. I'll take care of the whole thing. And then the fella gets a place in his life where he thinks he's accountable to nobody. And the idiot is the fella who makes it where he has to account to nobody. You'll never arise so high and so tall and grow to such importance but what you need to be accountable to somebody. Somebody said, I'll be glad when I'm grown so I can do what I want to do. Now listen. If you ever get the place to where you do what you want to do, you'll end up with a bullet through your head at your own choosing. Because you won't be happy. Nobody, listen, everybody needs the security that comes from accountability. Now, don't leave me, because I'm going to make it practical in a few minutes. For example, somebody said, I'm a self-made man. Self-made men usually end up being self-destructed men. You see, the man who makes himself, the man who says, I'll lift myself up by my own bootstraps, I'll make it on my own, that's admirable. But what happens is, when a fella becomes successful on his own, before you know it, he thinks he is exempt from being accountable to anybody. When you get to where you think you're exempt from being accountable to anybody, then not only do you lose your own security, you lose your own goal, you lose your own zeal, you lose your own closeness to mankind, and you lose your own self pride and self-esteem, and that's what causes them. That's what causes Napoleon Bonaparte's. That's what causes Adolf Hitler's. That's what causes Benito Mussolini's. That's what causes Fidel Castro's. That's what causes wild dictators in Iran. That's what caused Ayatollah Khomeini. Because he set himself up an organization where he wasn't accountable to anybody. Sometimes folks will work here in the church, in one of our office, and they don't want to be accountable. They don't want anybody over them. They want their little part of the pie, and they want to run that little part of the pie without being accountable to anybody, and that kind of thing will self-destruct. Listen. Do you know the folks who work for me in this church, they'll be happier if they're accountable to me. Many a church has fallen because the pastor felt he had no need for financial accountability to his church. Now, to be sure, the pulpit's off limits. I'm not accountable to anybody in this world for what I preach in this pulpit. Now, I'll say this much. I'm accountable to you to preach the truth.
And if I don't believe the book, and I begin to preach things that are against the book and against the virgin birth, then I'm accountable to you, and you have a perfect right to stand up and fight. That's why Paul said, he said, if an angel from heaven come and preach any other message other than this message, he said, let him be accursed. He said, if any man come and preach anything other than what you've heard, let him be accursed. He said, if I come back, let me be accursed. So to that extent, though for what I say from this book is none of your business, the fact that I stay in this book is your business. And to that extent, I'm accountable to this church to be sure this book is always believed and preached from this pulpit. Now, you see, when a child wants to rise above the age of being accountable, that child is asking for a life of misery. When a parent says, I'll let my child do what he wants to do, then you are destroying the... Listen, rather your child not have his vitamins. Rather your child not have the polio vaccine. Rather your child not have his own bed to sleep in. Rather your child not have a balanced diet. There is nothing that is destroying this country and will destroy your child as much as for you to make that child unaccountable to you. In our day, we've about lost it. This is the age of unaccountability. Now, the two things tonight I want to talk to you about concerning accountability. The first is the accountability of your time, of your schedule. Now, I want to say, hear me carefully now. Hear me carefully, everybody. You won't like yourself if you always can go where you want to go, when you want to go. You won't like yourself. You won't be happy. Hear me again. No one should ever be anywhere where no one knows where he is. Did you hear what I said? I said no one should ever be anywhere where no one knows where he is. Some of you young people say, I'm tired of having to report home. You ought to still be reporting to somebody when you're 95 years of age. Everybody needs to be scheduled and needs to be accountable concerning that schedule. You need to be accountable. Now listen carefully. They said they lost radar contact at 10:18. There was a storm. Now there's a little radar screen in these towers, and they chart the course. Listen, there's not a single commercial airliner in America tonight that is not accountable for where it's supposed to where it is. Always is. When you take off, you file your flight plan. Take off. And then as you fly, you keep in contact with the tower. If you're flying in a private plane, Brother Roloff and I were flying in a private plane together one time. And I said this. I'll never do it again. Never do it again. And it's too bad to joke about it now. But Brother Roloff, he just felt like he'd always be cared for. And he flew when he shouldn't fly. And I loved him and I worried about him like a father worried about his own son being driving too fast or something. But anyway, we'd chart the flight plan, file the flight plan for whatever. Now, we'd get out of radio contact with one airport and then we'd make radio contact with the next airport. And then we'd get out of that radio contact and make radio contact with the next airport. And as soon as we got close enough to the airport where our destination was, we would make contact with that airport. Now, I don't know how I feel tomorrow. I'll be flying to Washington State. And I'll get in the airplane, God willing, we'll fly out. And before we take off from the gate, before the plane even budges, before it's pushed back, with those little trucks, the pilot will get in contact with the control, and they'll tell him when to push back. And then he'll have to keep in contact with that tower while he's pushing back, while he's going out the runway, and he'll sit there on the runway until the tower tells him when to take off. And the tire will tell him what runway he's supposed to take off on and tell him which way he's supposed to turn when he gets in the air. And he'll give him his altitude, and he keeps in contact. And all the time, every airplane in the sky tonight, every commercial airliner right now is accountable to somebody somewhere for the course that it's taking. Now listen, when Lester Roloff's plane at 10:18 Tuesday morning lost contact with the tower, disaster was inevitable. Why? Because there was no accountability. And when you lose contact with the human race, and you say, I'll go where I want to go. And listen, the parent in this room that does not know where his child is 24 hours a day is an idiot. Foolish. We've gotten a strange idea. The child gets up 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age. He has a right to go where he wants to go. He doesn't. Young people, I'm not trying to take away fun from you. I'm trying to take away heartache and ruin from you. Stay in contact with the tower. But when radar control was lost, tragedy came. Now, I'm trying to help you young folks. I am. But if you don't like it, I'm still going to try to help you. I'm not mad at you, but I won't preach to you what I believe, whether you like it or not. And in God's name, you ought to listen to what I'm saying tonight, and you ought to realize, listen, I happen to be 56 years old. Now, I've learned a heap of things since I was 16. Been 40 years. I've had 40 years to live. And I know more than any 16-year-old boy or girl in this house knows, and several times as much. And I know several times as much as any teenager or any young person in this house, college-age young person, and I know what I'm talking about. Listen, the happiest college kids in the world are the college kids who have rules and the college folks know where they are. You don't hear of any riots at Howells Anderson College. Well, I'll throw one or two. But you don't hear any riots at Howells Anderson College? You hear of any strikes at Howells Anderson College? Why? Because those young people know we love them enough to know where they are. Where are lives ruined? Don't turn to it. I want to read you a passage that you know perhaps already. Here's a young man that went astray in the 7th of Proverbs. Listen to it. And beheld, by the way, down in the bottom verse it said with her much fair speech. Here's the harlot now. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him or seduced him. He goeth after her straightforward as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is his life. Now, here's a young man that in one little night, he went from purity to adultery. And I want you to notice how he did it. Listen carefully. It said, and behold, among the simple ones, now that simple one means he was pure. His life was not complicated yet. Among the simple one, I discern, among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Now, in the first place, the young man had not been taught understanding by his mom and dad. And then it says, passing through the street. Now, listen to me. Nobody, I don't care if he's 10, if he's 15, if he's 18, if he's 75, nobody ought to just pass through the streets. Tonight, all over this area, you have young people just wandering around. And as sure as God be God and heaven be high, and this pulpit is of wood, those young people are in for no good thing. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. An idle body is the devil's opportunity. Young people, listen to me. I'm not trying to hurt you. And parents, listen to me. I'm trying to shake some sense in your head. You ought not to be allowed to hang around. If you go to a pizza place to eat pizza, and most of them you shouldn't go to, because they're rock music centers. But if you go to a pizza place to eat your pizza and go home. If you go to McDonald's to get your hamburger and french fries, get your hamburger and french fries, eat them and go home. I'm talking to, not only to young people, I'm talking to people in this room tonight who are 30 and 40 and 50 years of age, who'll go after service and sit there and eat and then sit there and fiddle. And before you know it, you said things about folks you shouldn't say. And you're passing idle time. Okay, what happened to this fella? Said he was simple, but he was passing through the street. Notice now, near her corner. Did you hear it? He shouldn't have been loitering, but if he was, he shouldn't have been hanging around that part of town. Somebody said, I don't go with him, but he's just a friend. Of course, I wouldn't marry him. He's not the right kind of a guy, but he's just a friend. Well, you shouldn't be passing near the corner if somebody's not the right kind of guy. You shouldn't hang out in the neighborhood. That's one reason why Christian young men should not go to these electronic game places. You say, why? Because the crowd that hangs out there, how do you know? Because I sit out and watch them go in. And I dare a son of mine to go. I dare him. I double dog dare him. Well, you say, well, what can I do? You can beat the booger man out of him. Well, you say he's too old for me to whip. If he's 6 foot seven and weighs 280 pounds and you weigh 120 and you can't whip him, you failed in rearing him. Well, my mama took me when I was grown. Threatened to whip me. And tonight, if my mama saw me holding a cigarette in my hand, I'd get it. And I'll tell you what, too. I'd let her whip me. But I'm saying that these places, idle, just hanging around. Listen, no kid ought to go to some drive-in place and sit there and with a gang. If you're going to go get something to eat, go get it, eat it, start the car, go home. Idle. Notice now. Said passing through the street. Idle. Near her corner. In the twilight. Hear me now. In the twilight. In the evening. And in the black and dark night. Now I'll tell you something. I say it, and I don't care if everybody in this house gets up and walks out. Our young folks are getting home too late. Nobody ought to get home 11:30 and 12 o'clock. I don't. Listen. Here's another problem. We're doing too many things on dates on one night. Now, here, young folks, hear me now. Like it or lump it, hear me. When you go to a football game, listen now. You go to a football game, you're not supposed to go out and eat after the game. You go home after the game. One date's enough for one night. I mean, a football game's over at 10:30. You get out of the parking lot at 10:45 and drive to a restaurant and get there at 11 o'clock. Yet, I don't care if Jesus Christ and John the Baptist chaperone you. You ought to be home. Now, I'm not kidding. You laugh if you want to, but God's not laughing about it. And you better listen to somebody who knows what he's talking about. We're having, listen, no date ought to last over 4 hours. None. No date. Listen, you pick a girl up at 7, you ought to be home by 11 o'clock, both of you. And 4 hours is pretty long. And while you're on the date, you ought to do one thing, have it planned, go home, and save you eating out for the next date you're going to have. Oh, this is good stuff. It's good stuff. You don't believe me, and I'm not going to make the believers out of you, but I'm going to wash your blood off my hands. Yeah, boy, we'll show you. We'll do what we want to. Yeah, I'll show you, and I'll be happy I preached it if you don't do what I say. Because I'm washing the blood of your kids off my hands. I'm saying, I don't care. Listen, if the whole deacon board's with you, the deacon board ought to be home before midnight is two. Ought to do it. Make sure it's quiet. Sure. I'm saying, you know, I don't believe it. Yeah, I know. And you'd be wrong on a few other things before you die, too. What was wrong with the old generation? I mean, the truth is, we got the idea nowadays that anything that happens, we're supposed to go out and eat after it's over. Now, I'll tell you something. Okay, you won't like this, but you can lump this along with everything else. 11 o'clock at night is no time to eat. It's not good for you to meet at 11 o'clock. I mean it. Go ahead and sing. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead. But you are wrecking your health. I don't care how old you are. 11 o'clock at night is not the time to be putting pizza and pop and milkshake and french fries and onion rings and hamburgers in your gut. Not the time. Oh, I wish you had some sense. If you're going to eat something before you go to bed, get you a little bite of cheese or get you some milk and put some honey in it and go to bed. Parents, quit your snickering while I'm telling you something that's trying to save your life. When I hold two fingers up, you laugh. Don't you laugh while I hold two up. I'm serious. Listen. Doc Streeter, where are you? You know this is true. A person that eats meals after late at night, you know it's true. He'll be your customer for long. But you say for the house, young people will be young people. Listen, young folks ought to set practices while they're young. They'll keep them well when they get old. And the honest truth is that if you have a date to go to a ball game, then go to the ball game and come home and go to bed. I want to say something else, too. Unplanned dates are dangerous. That's why, I said a while ago, that's why I myself, now I'll get it for this. I mean, boy, this is one of those 100-letter statements. I'm in. I'll have to take 2 hours just for the mail I'll get from this statement. But I, for 23 years, I haven't cared about that. I just wanted to tell you the truth. That's why I'm totally, personally opposed to slumber parties. There's far too many young people spending the night with each other. Boy, that quieted it down an awful lot. I'm talking about, listen, girls coming to spend the night with each other. And you know what they do? And I know you kids won't like it, but I don't care. I'm going to try to help you. If I got to hold you like you hold a dog, putting some medicine in his mouth, and hold him till you swallow it. Parents, we've had more devilment go on at slumber parties than most any other single activity in the church. You say, you don't like me. I like you enough to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Young folks back in the back, you listen while I'm preaching. I like you enough to tell you the truth. But you know, you parents will sit out there and you'll detest the modern philosophy of letting the child decide what he does and to test it and say amen while I'm preaching and then practice it 6 days a week. I'm not mad at you. In God's name, I'm trying to tell you, listen, America was okay when folks went to bed at night. This fellow would have got me. Look at this, what he said. He said, he was passing through the street near her house in the twilight, then in the evening, then in the black and dark night. If he'd have gone home in the evening, he wouldn't have stayed out the black and dark night. He wouldn't have lost his purity. That's why dates ought to be planned. That's why all lives ought to be planned. Now, I know what you're doing. You got a little surly look on your face. You're not impressing me, buddy. Nor are you scaring me. Nor are you going to quiet me down. In fact, you're going to louden me up. I'm talking about, listen, we've got some sweet little 17-year-old girls and 18 and 16-year-old girls in this church who are sweet and pure and obedient, and right now they're saying, well, that's right, that makes sense. We all have little punks and pipsqueaks that think you're smart and think you know more than mama and more than, listen, your mama's got more brains than her little toe than you got in your big head. Amen. He says, I'm going to leave this church. We need the space. We're sort of crowded in here. Said, passing through her street, near her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Oh, wonder what that is. Let's see, that'd probably be an overcoat, wouldn't it? No. Okay, that'd probably be grandma's old nightgown, wouldn't it? No. I expect it'd be something to advertise for merchandise. In the Bible, I'll tell you exactly what it was. In the Bible, the attire of a harlot was a slit in the skirt, so when you walk, his thigh would show. And I'll be honest, I'm here to just say the whole cotton-picking mess. I'm opposed to slits and skirt. Well, say, why? Because I'm a man. And I'm old, but I'm not dead. Yeah. All they are is suggestions. Say, look at this. I got some more. Now, if you haven't got anything for sale, don't advertise. The harlot had a slit in her skirt. And what it did, her thigh would show. And that was advertisement that she was for sale. Young ladies, listen. Nobody, not even your dad, ought to see your thigh until you go to the altar. The time that our girls were out of diapers, Dad did not see them unclothed. Oh, for some modest girls. And some of you girls ought to quit wearing, now that you're grown and wear a size 10 dress, you ought to get rid of that size 4 sweater. The attire of a harlot. Yeah. Go ahead, snicker. Go ahead. Snicker all you want to. But you won't hush me up. No, you won't. I'm talking about mixed bathing. I'm talking about short wearing. I'm talking about skirt slits. Or shirt either. I'm talking about unbuttoned blouses. I'm talking about the blouse has got a button here and a button here, button there, and you start buttoning it right down here. If you haven't got anything for sale, then quit advertising. If you're not a harlot, quit looking like one. You want to entice fellas, take a closer look and see if they can see part of your bosom, don't you? Boy, America needs what I'm saying tonight. So, she is. Then, with the attire of a harlot. Notice now, he's passing through the street near her corner. He went away to her house in the twilight, in the evening, the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Look, she is loud and stubborn. Young man said the other day to me, I think I'm in love. I think I'm in love. I said, who is? He told me. He said, now, she's a good girl. I said, she is a little stubborn, but not to me. I said, don't marry her. Don't marry her. All the stubborn women ought to do society a favor and be old maids. And young men, you find you somebody that's quiet. You find you somebody that doesn't call you on the telephone. Some of you kids better quit snickering because you're adding 5 minutes to every snicker to the sermon. I'd suggest some of you kids better get intelligent looks on your face. It might be a good thing for a change, and also it might get you out of here before 11 o'clock. Loud and stubborn.
Her feet abide not in her house. You get that? Her feet abide not in her house. What is it? Listen. Listen, I want every ear in this house to hear me. Any young lady who is alone at night ought to be home. Home! You say, you're not going to get me to do what you say, but I can wash my hands of your blood and I can let you know one day that I tried to get you to listen to me. This young lady, it says right here, said, she is not in her house. Young ladies shouldn't be walking around town alone. And they should be driving around town 10, 11, 12 o'clock alone. By the way, it's okay, said she's loud and stubborn. Now, verse 13. So she caught him. Now, what that word means in the original language, she touched him. And kissed him. The first time your lips touch a young man's ought to be on your wedding night. The first time your lips, young men, touch young ladies, ought to be on your wedding night. And I'll guarantee you, 50% of all the young people in this room, 50% of all the adults in this room, 50% of all the people in this room who have been teenagers, who are over 18, if you have parked and kissed, 50% of you have committed adultery. So how do you know? Because I keep polls in my office. She caught him and kissed him. Where'd it start? When he was hanging around. Then what happened? He was out too late. Then what happened? He saw a lady, a female, wasn't dressed modestly. Then what happened? She was loud. You know what you ought to do, fellas, young men? You ought to quit looking for these beauty queens to marry. I mean it. In the first place, most of these beauty queens wash it down the drain at night. Well, some of you fellas, first night you got married, you went to the bedroom and saw her. You said, "Pardon me, ma'am." What you better do is you better find you some little gal's not spoiled and hadn't heard too many times how beautiful she is. You find you a little gal back in the second echelon that's quiet and sweet. And you find you somebody that thinks her dad's the greatest guy on the face of the earth. And you go sometimes to see her parents when she's not home and take a look at her room. And if it looks like the Korean War just was fought in there, then you say, "I love her." It doesn't take long to unlove her. You'd be amazed how quick you'll unlove her after you have to live in one of those rooms. If you go with a girl who said, "My mama doesn't understand me," quit her just like that. Now, my dad and I, we just don't get along. Quit her! Anybody could take 18 years of free meals and criticize the cook or the provider hadn't got enough character to be your wife or husband. I mean, free meals. So then she said, "I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, the fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love under the morning." This fellow's about to go into sin, and the fellow wouldn't have done it if it had just gone home on time at night and hadn't been hanging around the corner. With much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Watch out for these gals that say, my, 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 you are handsome. They don't suck their thumb when they say that. They've been saying it to others. You just, you get one that can blush. And you get one that likes to hear the sermon in church. I used to go with a real pretty girl years ago. She's a knockout. And I bet getting out of it, and you know, you have the same memory of how they used to look, you know. And I saw her in Texas about 3 years ago. I mean, they had to saw her in two to get her through a door. I couldn't believe it. And I said, phew. Good night. What happened to work? There's a second accountability, and that's finances. Now hear me. Not only should every single person be accountable for his schedule. And by the way, if you're at the top of the ladder and there's nobody to whom you can be accountable, then you make your schedule and be accountable to that schedule. I obey my schedule. My schedule is my boss. I don't have to work like I work. I get by without it. Except I've got a boss. It's my schedule. I talked to a guy the other day working for the Lord full time. Said he worked about 6 hours a day. I got more respect for a drunkard. Boy, I hate laziness. I hate it. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. He's breakfast in bedders. Honey, would you bring him breakfast to bed? Bring him a scalding pot of coffee. Now listen carefully, because I don't have time to say all I want to say, but I'm going to take it. Nobody, I don't care how much money you have, nobody should be financially independent. Nobody ought to be able to buy anything he wants, and that's the curse of credit cards. Nobody ought to be able to go into a store and realize he could buy anything or she could buy anything in that store she wants to. It'll make you unhappy. A child, teenager, as I said last night, shouldn't be allowed to have money and just spend it on anything he wants to spend it for. Listen, that's what budgets are for. There ought to be an accountability for money. Preachers sometimes misunderstand. But that's one reason why I never see the money in this church. I don't even know the combination to the safe. I've been at 23 years and 2 months plus. And if you said tonight, let me in that safe, or I'm going to shoot you, I'd just say, Brother Uncle Rowley, I'm coming to see you. Because I don't know it. That's why I don't sign the checks. And that's why every of the $12,200,000 budget here in this ministry, that's why every penny of it is audited by one of the big eight auditors in this country every year, and I'm accountable. And that's why I give you a treasury report with the check number, and the date the check was written, and to whom the check was written, and for what the check was written, and the budget item from which the check was taken, and give it to you every month. Why? Nobody ought to be financially unaccountable. Nobody. Preachers sometimes misunderstand me. Young men go to college here. because I'm blunt and preach it like it is, they sometimes misunderstand. They go out and they'll build a building in their church, they pastor, and they themselves, without even taking it to a board or the church for a vote, will build it. And they will take money, and they write the check. They're not accountable. This building right here came time to enlarge it. We'd hoped to do it for about $500,000 or $600,000. When the bids were all in, we sat right here one night. The deacons did, right there. There's a wall right here then. And I said, fellas, the lowest bid's $1.2 million. And I said, now, brethren, I do not know. I think we ought to send the plans back to the auditor, back to the architect. Let the architect draw new plans for something we can afford. And the deacons said, we ought to build what we need. And I said, now, brethren, this is your church. If that's what you want, we'll recommend that to the people. But I said, I'm not going to take you $1.2 million in debt because I want it. What if my plane went down tomorrow? If my plane went down tomorrow morning and you heard the news tomorrow from the old house was gone, I'll guarantee you, I will not have led you beyond your vote and beyond my accountability to you to spend one single dime. And I'll guarantee you, our auditor said, he said, you have one of the best balance sheets of assets plus versus liabilities of any of our clients. Let me illustrate. Every man on this platform, in some way, works for me, or at least is supposed to. Now, for example, Brother Sisson and Brother Fernandez and Brother Eau Claire, I'll guarantee you, work 12 hours a day, four apiece. But listen, they're accountable to me. But that's strange, though. Did you know, as a member of this church, when I give the treasurer's report, that you know financially I'm accountable to you? Wish I hadn't have said that now. But I am. And I make myself accountable. By the way, that's one of the great dangers in the Christian school movement. Hear me now carefully. A lot of our Christian schools are trying to be free of any intervention from the state. When there is some intervention that our communities have a right. You say, Brother Howell, what is it? Okay. If I'm doing something in my school that is endangering your life, then you have it becomes your business. If I got a bunch of old rattle trap buses running around here, haven't got any brakes on them, then society has a perfect right to come in and say, you've got to get brakes on your buses because you're endangering our lives. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of preachers got that all mixed up, and they go around the country, I'm free. I fall run a bus without brakes. That's my business. No, it's not your business. It's everybody's business that walks down the street in your town or drives a car. If the health department comes out to our school and the Jordan River out there has got an army of rats, I'm not talking about hippies, I'm talking about real rats. Army of rats is endangering the health of all the neighborhood. Society has a perfect right to say you've got to get rid of those rats. Now, they have no right to tell us who's supposed to teach in our school. Because who teaches in our school doesn't affect the fellow next door. And the curriculum of our school doesn't affect the fellow next door. And the textbooks of our school. And so it's none of the state's business, so we're going to license your school. We built this mezzanine here. So I talked to the fire chief. spent 2 hours up back there one day talking to the fire chief. And he knows me, he likes me. And I said, give me some advice. If it's dangerous, let us know. I didn't say, why you leave your hands on me? I don't want you folks to be killed in the fire. That's why we have all these doors here. So, fire breaks out, we can all get out of here. That's why that I've trained a choir that fire breaks out, that door's mine first. Listen, you can't find a preacher like this every day, but you can find a lot of bases to beat this. Now listen to me. We've been around the bush tonight to say two things. And that is, you are not going to be happy unless you are accountable to somebody for where you are and accountable to somebody for what you spend. In this old age of unaccountability. You know what? The greatest teenage cause of death in America, you know what it is? Suicide. And if you want to just see who's committing the suicide, it is the children or the young people who are not accountable. Accountable people are happy people. We met last night at the deacon's meeting. Started at 7:15. We got out 3 days later. And we wrangled 2.5 hours about one thing. And I'll fight to the finish for every man there to be able to speak his opinion. If he disagrees with me or not, I'll fight to the finish for every man to say what he thinks. That's why companies have boards. You know what basically a leader needs to do? A leader needs to have a chosen group of followers. Representative group of followers. Not just the wealthy. Not just the big shots. Representative group. We have folks on our deacon board, for example, that own big businesses. We have some like Dick Kennedy. Can't read and write. But our deacon board, we have a deaf man, I think, on the deacon board. We have 4 or 5 of our Spanish-speaking folks on the deacon board. And the deacon board is representative of our church. And now, financially, I need those men to help me. Now, normally, whatever I recommend, they're for it. But I don't need a bunch of yes men. I need some men with whom I can talk. And we can talk about the pros and cons of something. Sometimes, it may not be comfortable sometimes, but it's necessary. Everybody needs to be answerable to somebody. Now look at me, folks, and I want to quit. Children, it may sometimes be a little bit hectic. When mama says, where you going? Where you been? Oh, come on. I'm not a child anymore. If you're 75, somebody ought to know where you've been. Nobody ought to live a life financially or schedulally. That's a word. Unattached. All of us are going to give an account to God someday. But while we're on our way to heaven, we need to live accountable. For where we are, for what we do, for what we spend. Russell Anderson lives less extravagantly than most of you. You say, with all those millions? Yeah. He doesn't use all those millions. His wife's on allowance. He gives himself a salary. He doesn't spend millions. Jack DeCoster. What does he do? First time I ever rode on a plane with Jack DeCoster, his suitcase was held together by a piece of rope. So what do you say? Jack DeCoster could buy any house in America he wants to buy, I guess. He could probably buy any car he wants to buy, but Jack DeCoster doesn't do that. Folks, if you can buy anything you want to buy when you want to buy it, you haven't got anything left. There's no mystery anymore. There's nothing. There's no worlds to conquer. There are no new things to seek for. There are a heap of folks tonight ought to find your way to the mourner's bench. Father, bless the message.